Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the Development and Environmental Review Committee. Today is April the 20th. It is 10 o'clock. I am Oliver Lujita, the Planning Division Manager and the Chair of the meeting. Can you do introductions, please?
Si Chai Kuo, Land Development.
Gary Akers, Land Development.
Mahmoud Kildur, Public Works Traffic.
Rob Spillman, Public Works Design.
Ted Brunson, Water Department Engineering.
Robert Castro, Water Department Environmental Control.
Mary Blaze, Planning Division. Elizabeth Mora Rodriguez, Planning Division.
Chantal Power, Planning Division.
Melina Perez Ramirez, DERC Secretary.
Gracie Johnson, Public Works Integrated Waste.
Todd Morris, Building and Safety.
Thank you. I know that we have a few folks that would like to speak. When the item comes up, you could please introduce yourself and, for the record. Item number one, Mary, would you kindly introduce that item for us?
Yes, this is Conditional Use Permit 1701. It's a request to allow the development, establishment, and operation of a social service resource center within an existing fire-damaged one-story building that's about 3,500 square feet, along with the construction of required on-site and off-site improvements. It's comprised of two parcels that totals just under half an acre, located at 840 South Sierra Way. The environmental determination will be categorically exempt and pursuant to 15332. And do you want me to kind of go into a little bit of the background of this?
Of course.
Okay. So this is an existing facility. It used to be a church. It's been vacant for a couple of years. It sustained some fire damage last year, about 15% is what they estimate, mostly the roof. The proposal is to create it'll be operated by a nonprofit, charitable organization, and what they want to do is provide a neighborhood-based social service program that's aimed at keeping kids and gangs off drugs and off the streets. And to do that, they're going to provide some educational and health and recreational and enrichment activities. They're going to provide some mentoring, and they're going to have a retail component in the front part of the building, about 1,856 square feet, where they're going to resell donated items. That component of this facility will hopefully about 95% be the revenue that supports the operation.
Yes.
So that is kind of the...
We did do an inspection, or we visited the site.
Yes.
Myself, Todd Morris, and Sarah Pearson from Fire. At the end of the day, we need the building to, meet fire and building codes. And so I guess there's still some questions as to maintaining or keeping part of the wall and, what are the cost benefits of just, rather than just doing a freestanding shell inside and just the facade, keeping the wall. But so those will be some items as we go through the plan check process.
Okay.
That you need to keep in mind. And fire and building safety still waiting to see how that's all going to work together, how they're going, how you're planning on constructing that to meet the codes. And so, we'd like to see that, kind of resolved. We don't like to get too far away, but we are looking to move to the Planning Commission, but I don't like to give people false hopes that, well, it was approved and now there's a hang-up, so you might want to still keep some thought to that.
I could just address it just kind of briefly. Obviously architect stamp plans at this time are required by the city, but we do have them. The site has been designed. If the city wants to see them early, then we're happy to submit them for your review and comment.
Okay.
No, we just want to save any, heartache down the road in the sense of, that again, that's why we met with you out on site. To take a look at it, still was unclear of kind of what direction you were going to go into after our discussion out there, and we met on site. So would be curious to see where we're at and what direction to go into, just so we could all be on the same page.
Right.
So that when you do come into plan check, that it doesn't come to a surprise. But again, we were just again curious to see how we're putting that together. Okay.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you. So, Chair, you want to start us off? Land development.
Yeah.
So for this item, it's like mostly a TI. Land development doesn't have much comment, but we see that the plan noted that the fence along the southerly portion is going to be replaced with a block wall. And we asked that block wall have to have a 3 feet minimum clearance from face of wall to the back of curb. Mm-hmm. And also the existing ramp along the path of travel that was denoted on the plan to be verified for ADA accessible. If not, the reconstruction may be required for that ramp. And a lot merger is required if one was not previously done for this lot to be one legal lot.
Thank you. Gary, anything to add?
No further comments.
Okay.
No comment from traffic.
Robert, do you have any parts?
Back onto that ADA ramp that's there. It goes to our street improvements. We would ask for a two and three quarters foot dedication. Currently, that property line seems to be right back on the sidewalk. If we were to ask for that, that means that ramp would then be inside the city right away. If it is compliant now, we're not going to ask for that dedication. If it is not compliant, it has to be rebuilt. We will ask for the dedication and the relocation of that ADA to be on your own property. So, other than that, just any damaged sidewalk, curb and gutter, as noted in here, be replaced. That's all we have.
Thank you. Ted, anything for us?
It looks, even though it sounds like there was a fire from our data, it looks like there was an existing fire service that currently serves the building.
Yes, there is, and that was all vandalized over the last couple of years. So the hot tap, everything's in place outside. Just the riser on the outside of the building was dismantled.
Okay. All I was going to say is that there's existing services to it, so it would just be standard requirements from us, which is an RFI application, which is also available online on the fifth floor if you wanted to upgrade any of the services or if you need to meet any of the building code requirements. So I'm going to give you a copy of those, and then if you would pass a copy to Mary, please, for her records.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Thank you, Ted.
You're welcome.
I just have one question. So the existing service is there for the fire portion of it, not
that's
the
correct.
Domestic portion. That will be adequate as long as we comply with the actual tenant improvement fire system, the sprinkler system that we're putting in?
Well, for me to indicate that it would be adequate would be, that would actually need to come from the fire department. So Sarah's not here today. I don't think that, I certainly don't want to speak on her behalf, and I don't know if Todd wants to make any comment.
I think on our field, when we were out there on the field, I think she did mention that that they would have to inspect it and you know, knew that there was some system in place. But
you always do the pressure test to verify that you have the correct pressure out at that site. So we still need that. I know fire would require that.
Okay, so that would be part of our conditions then. We'll
correct.
Get a flow test on that.
Absolutely. But that would be part of your fire sprinkler company, your contractor is going to be doing that. That's just typical what they do.
Right.
Yeah. They're typical process.
So, you know, all I'm basically saying is that there's an existing service that's there. If it meets your needs, great. If not, we can obviously upgrade it for you if you want. If that's the direction it needs to be taken. So,
okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Thank you, Dave. Robert, anything to add?
Is there a kitchen proposed for this site? Any type of cooking will be conducted on site?
No.
The nutrition education, is that just classroom?
Yes.
Just okay. So there's absolutely no
cooking.
No cooking or catering.
No. No. Not at all.
No additional comments.
Thank you. Gracie, anything for us?
Just to clarify, that's North Sierra.
Yeah. So it does say South Sierra on some of the documents today.
So the proposed refuse enclosure will need to be relocated to the southeast corner of the parking lot because there's no on-site turnaround. Once the truck is on-site, there's no way to turn around to exit Faceboard. So I let Mary know that. So we'll need you to submit that new refuse enclosure location for review and approval. You'll be constructing a standard plan. I gave it to you. Standard plan 508, which is an 8x15 refuse enclosure for bin storage. and then work with land development to make any modifications to meet ADA access requirements.
Yeah.
But those modifications would be in addition to the 8x15 for the bins.
Yeah, actually, we're trying to change the formats a little bit so that that would be on the building plans.
Mm-hmm.
Trash enclosure, we're trying to ask that our conditions, those kind of things now would be a function of the building plans for the TI.
Correct.
So we're trying to, the conditions say that, but we're trying to...
Oh, so don't work with land development then?
Right. They can work with the land plan checker and the building
plan
department.
Checker. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you work with the plan checker.
Okay.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Todd,
any questions? Just our standard, right, this is just standard conditions of approval, but again, as we've met and we've just discussed, I do wait with bated breath to see what we're doing. Curious to see what the design's going to be and what direction we're going to go into, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all I have.
Thank you. Do you have any questions of the committee members or any comments?
No, I just want to thank staff. I know it's been a kind of a long process, and you've had to get a lot of staff involved on a lot of different, planning, fire, all the various other departments. So I just want to thank everyone for their time.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Mary, anything to add to this?
No. We've talked about what we're going to be. Perfect.
Okay, our recommendation is to move this to the Planning Commission. Would that be for the meeting of May the 17th? Is that what we're looking at?
I think so, yeah. May
okay.
the 17th.
Okay, but may I'd like to entertain a motion, please?
Set motion.
Second.
I have a motion, a second. If there's any opposition, we'll see you next month.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah,
sure.
Kindly introduce item number two, please.
Item number two is development permit type D 16-27. This is a request to allow the development, establishment, and operation of an office building containing approximately 43,953 square feet, along with the construction of the required on-site and off-site improvements on a vacant parcel containing approximately 4.64 acres. The site is located on the east side of Southeast Street, north of Westmouth K Drive, within the commercial general zone. Our determination is that this is categorically exempt pursuant to Section 15332, infill development of the California Environmental Quality Act. And our recommendation is to adopt resolution number 2017-025, adopting the categorical exemption and approving developmental permit type D 16-27, subject to the recommended conditions of approval.
Anything to add to that,
Elizabeth? Yes, I actually wanted to provide the applicant with the draft resolution. We'll have the final one once we move forward with approval.
Thank you. C-Chan, would you like to start us off, please?
So we've seen this item on a pre-app before, and most of the condition is the same. The prelim WQMP was submitted and conceptually approved, and comment was provided back to the engineer for final WQMP plan checks submittal. And we also require a SWIP for these projects. And also, just want to point out that the sewer along E Street is a 15 and 30 inch. And if you want to tap to that sewer line, you have to work with Public Works to get approval. And that's what comes.
Thank you. Gary, anything to that?
No, just a reminder that the SWIP has to have a WDID number issued prior to permits, obviously.
Thank you. Mahmoud?
Yes, from the traffic study previously, I guess we sent out our comments, and one of them just to coordinate with Caltrain regarding the on-ramp traffic signal intersection. Caltrain has responded. I'm sure you have the comments from them. Came up with the three comments. I'm going to read it from the third up. Third one is common, very general, which is a sidewalk, a pedestrian access, which is just provided in the development. Number two, which is the solution for the impact, was refused by Caltrain to allow the free right turn on the Auto Plaza to the I-215 northbound RF. Leave you with the number one, which is a solution to that comment, is to time the signal on the two ramps as well as the E and E Street signals. This can be done by your traffic engineer if you'd like to provide us with the timing plan for the three intersections to satisfy the requirement for this one, for the comments from Caltrain. The other option could be we can do it in-house. We have the staff to do the timing, and there will be a cost to the developer to pay for that. And we can talk about that after that. That will be the condition to the...
Do we have an adequate condition to include in our resolution for that?
Well, yeah, we can add.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Robert, anything for us?
Looks like the right-of-way is already there, both sides, E Street and D Street. They mentioned for you connecting onto the 15-inch or the other pipeline. We also have one on D Street, so it's depending on which direction you're going to go. If you get to us before the end of the month, it'll be Public Works. After that, it'll be a correlation between us and the Water Department for working on the sewers. We're in the phasing of sewers coming from the city of San Bernardino over to our Water Department. They'll be handling it. So up till the end of this month, we will be handling the majority of it, but after that, then we'll need to get the water involved, because they'll be then having the full requirements on it. Should still be the same, but still trying to let you know up front on that. Replacement of any damaged sidewalk, curb gutter, making sure that we have an adequate ADA, 48 inches around. Not sure, I think there was one section that was kind of questionable on E Street, and again, not too sure. Then on D Street, we just want to make sure we add the sidewalk onto D Street. It's on the back side.
Right.
Other than that, that's pretty much all I have.
Thank you, Robert. Ted, anything for us?
It would just be standard requirements for new services. I think that actually we passed these out during the pre-application. If you need to obtain another copy of that, I can provide that to you. But it's just RFI application for new services, and sewer capacity fees will be due prior to issuance of the building permit.
Thank you. Robert, anything to add?
Is there any type of cafe or kitchen being proposed for this facility, coffee shop, anything like that, this office building?
Just the employee break rooms.
Just the general break room?
Yeah, no cooking, just
no
microwaves.
No range house, just microwave.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you. Chrissy?
So the new location for the refuse enclosure is acceptable. We'll also construct a standard plan 508-8x15 enclosure and work with the building division and your plan checker for your ADA modifications for ADA. That's it.
Thank you.
All right. Standard conditions. Once we see the plans come in, we'll take a peek at it. But at this point, no further comments.
Perfect. Thank you. Do you have any questions for the committee members? Or?
We're going to try to feed as much as we can off of D Street for utilities.
Yeah. It's easier for us if you do that. It's an 8-inch. If you get into a 15-inch, there's a little more requirements when you go to do some of that sort. But again, if you get to us before the end of this month, we'll take care of it. After that, we will both be working out with Water Department.
Okay. Elizabeth, anything to add? We good?
I think we're good, yes.
Okay. Our recommendation is that we adopt Resolution 2017-025. I'd like to entertain that motion, please.
Is that motion?
Second.
Yeah, first and a second. Unless there's any opposition, congratulations.
Thank you.
We've removed item number 3 from the agenda. We're still working with the applicant and fire and building and safety on resolving some design issues, so that one's not up for discussion today. Item number 4. Be gentle, Diego's first one. Diego, would you kindly introduce item number four, please?
Yes, item number four is an extension of time 17-03. A request to allow a one-year extension of time for subdivision 13-03 for tentative tract map 18895 involving the subdivision of a parcel containing approximately 3 acres into 12 single-family residential lots. The site is located on the northeast corner of Bill Street and Macy Street. It's zoned residential suburban. Environmental determination, previous environmental determination pursuant to section 15162, previous environmental determination of the California Environmental Quality Act, and the recommendation is to move to the Planning Commission.
Thank you. Anything to add to that, Diego? Good. Any comments? This is what, just the first extension that we've processed, do you recall?
This is the second extension.
Okay, so it's come before us before. Any comments from the group? Mm-hmm. It's your chance to lay into Diego.
Since this is an extension, the conditions that are set, will they continue on also? Or
yes, the original conditions stay with it. Thank you. So with that, I'd like to entertain a motion to move this to the Planning Commission. I guess it would be for the May meeting as well, May 17th. Let me entertain a motion, please.
Set a motion.
Second.
Okay. All right, Diego, you made the first step.
Thank you.
Mid cut.
Good job. You want to join us up at the house? And Hector, haven't seen you in a while, Hector.
I know.
Where did the love go? Mary, will you kindly introduce item number five, please?
Yes, this is subdivision 1607 for tentative tract 19840, and it's a request to allow the subdivision of a 2.28-acre parcel into 3 single-family residential lots, ranging in size from 21,422 square feet to 21,987 square feet, along with the construction of required on- and off-site improvements. It's generally located at 2639 East Amanda Street, near Linwood Avenue, and it is categorically exempt pursuant to 15315 minor land divisions. And our recommendation is to adopt resolution 217-024, which adopts the categorical exemption and approves subdivision 1607 for parcel map 19840 based on the findings of fact and recommended conditions of approval.
Thank you. So I know we have some individuals that would like to speak on this.
Yes.
So I think what we'll do is we'll go around the table for our comments first, and then we'll allow those in the audience to speak as well. See, Chad, would you like to start us off, please?
So for this parcel map, we're going to require full CAD WQMP, a SWIP, and also the WDID prior to grading permit issuance, and no cross-lot drainage will be allowed for this parcel map. The drainage easement along the southerly portions of parcel 3 need to be recorded in favor of parcel 1, 2, 3 to collect the runoff for that access driveway B that we show on the map. Also, the sewer main force need to be constructed in accordance to East Valley Water and Public Works requirements. The sewer pump system need to be installed as part of this sewer main force. A homeowner association is also required to be formed for maintenance of the easement, the utility and the improvement on that driveway B easement. And final map will be required. That should be all for land development.
Thank you. Gary, anything to add? There's been a lot of work with the infrastructure and
We just wanted to point out, and maybe Public Works wants to direct it as well, but we're going to ask that a conventional driveway be located on the entrance to Amanda, as opposed to trying to put in radius, because there's a driveway adjoining to the east. It's very close.
Okay.
So, and there's some utility relocation that's going to be needed to make that driveway work. So, that's all.
Thank you.
Robert? No comments from traffic.
Thank you. Robert?
Talking about the driveway approach, yes, it is radius. I would prefer that you go with the regular standard city driveway. We'll work with you to see if we can do a hybrid of some sort, so that we have a standard on one side and maybe an extended on the other side to allow for entering into that driveway and stuff. But as Land Development had mentioned, that there might be a little bit of an issue with the radius of trying to get in and out of the parcel and such. Again, if you do a standard driveway, you may not have to put the handicap ramps in, which ends up costing a little more concrete work that needs to happen, whereas if you do a driveway, it may not need to go that direction. Again, talking with Land Development for your driveway, which it's going to be, I guess, either a lot or a part of the HOA, from what I can understand, that'll have your street light, which will be, again, private part of the HOA, the sewer, the street itself. The only other thing that I had seen on the plan is that the radiuses that you have on it don't quite meet the standards that we have for a cul-de-sac that we would have. For a public cul-de-sac, we'd require that you have a minimum of 40-foot radius. It's hard enough right now with our trash trucks and fire to accommodate the 40-foot, but since this is private, we may allow to go less, but it's only going to be on conditions of both the trash and the fire if they can be able to make that turn or not. If they require that you need to go to 40, then you'll need to go to the 40. And I think that's about it.
Thank you. Okay.
This actually, as I mentioned during some of the previous reviews of this is actually in East Valley Water District service area, CCHI also made a comment to that, but sewer capacity fees are still due to us prior to issuance of the building permit for the three SFRs. And the reason why is because East Valley Water District currently doesn't have their own treatment facility. All the wastewater comes to San Bernardino. So those fees are due to us for that.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Robert, anything to add?
No comment.
Thank you. Gracie, please.
Okay, so we do have a concern with the cul-de-sac. If it's not a 40-foot turn radius, then we need to see that the truck can make that turn so that they're exiting, you know, correctly out of those homes. I don't see where 9 trash barrels, because each house would have 3 residential containers, where that could be, there'd be enough space on Amanda. If that other vacant parcel, there's no house on it, if that's developed, where would the trash containers go? So they're going to need to provide service to each home. So you'll want to consider that every week there will be 3 trash trucks on that pavement, and how you construct that, because empty, 17 tons, if they come heavy, 27 tons, and that's 3 trucks every week. You'll also be constructing a 4x11 concrete pad for each home to store the containers out of public view. And I think that's all.
What is the street section going to be like? Is that going to be sufficient?
You know what? I don't ever see the plans on it. My apologies for that. We do have a minimum standard that we would have, but again, it's private. It's up to you. But the problem is if you start getting fire and police, fire and trash on there, it wouldn't be the HOA's response to the city to repair that because of the damage to it, because we're letting you know ahead of time of all the access that's going to be on. So our condition would be for any of the street lights, sewer, storm drains, anything that's going to be done needs to be done to the city's policies. That'll help out not only us, but also the HOA as they have a standard lifetime as a regular street and other such items. So you can either do the soils report with the TI in that area, understanding how many vehicles are going to be on it to figure out just your thickness, or we can go with our minimum thickness, which is usually pretty stout for any areas. So, we can work beyond that after.
Thank you.
That it, Gracie?
Yes, thank you.
Todd? Standard conditions for single-family construction under the CRC code. We'll look forward when those come in. That's all.
Thank you. Now, I know we have some gentlemen that wanted to speak. Would you mind coming forward and introduce yourself for the record? So if you could state your name and your address, please.
Yes, my name is Henry Castaneda. My address is 1391 North Linwood Way. We're looking at the property up to the left of the property. I'm the one that provided the pictures.
Okay.
My concerns are of safety of the entrance in and out of this property. When I'm backing out of my driveway, there's no buffer zone for me to not be impeding in the way of traffic coming in and out of that entrance. Now, you guys mentioned three trash trucks a week coming in and out of there, not to mention the residents that are going to be living there, how many cars are going to be coming in and out of there. There is no way for me not to be in danger of getting hit if traffic is coming out of that entrance and they're not paying attention. There's no buffer zone. There's no place on the sidewalk where the curb is going to be, because if you look at the last picture with the tape measure at the marker, property marker, his driveway is going to be starting right to the right of that. There's if I'm standing on my driveway, if you look at the other picture, there's less than 2 feet from the property line to my grass. And it poses a safety concern for myself and my family every time we're standing on our driveway, if we're in the grass or if we're pulling out of our driveway. Every time I pull out of the driveway, not only do I have to look up the street to the right, to the left where Amanda is, and up the street to Linwood, I have to look behind me of traffic that's coming towards me from the back of my house.
So what suggestion would you have to help alleviate that?
At the very least, to give some kind of buffer zone from here to where this mailbox is. There's a section of concrete there where the sidewalk is. At least give me that kind of buffer zone. But according to the planners, they're saying that the driveway won't be long enough for the big trucks to get in and out.
So when you say buffer zone, what do you mean?
If you look at this picture,
yes,
you have this part right here. That's what I'm calling a buffer zone. But they're saying that from here to here, that driveway won't be big enough for the trucks to get in and out. See, when I pull out right here, I'm already in the flow of traffic of the traffic coming out, because the driveway is going to start right here and go all the way to this fence. I'm already in their driveway.
It's kind of how the way that the house is, the garage is kind of aimed.
Yeah.
Right.
And not to mention, when they're coming down the street and they're making a right turn in here, there's nothing from preventing them if they overshoot it, if they're speeding, not to drive onto my property. What's going to protect them from going onto my property? The whole entrance itself is just a safety hazard.
Mary, is there a fence that's proposed that would be an extension of that existing wrought iron that the neighbor has?
They need to do perimeter, boundary. Whether it's going to be wall or wrought iron will be determined when they submit their fencing plan, but we talked about that, Henry, and I don't think you object to that, correct?
I'm not objecting to maybe a block retaining wall that's even with the lay of the land, and I realize they have to come down, but some kind of barrier that could prevent cars from being overshot and going onto my property and in my house.
So if I understand correctly, this is the front, so basically it would be like this?
Yeah.
Right, and so, Mary, are we talking about fencing that would come along through here?
If I'm not mistaken, land development thinks, due to the grades out there, there may have to be a retaining wall in there. This hasn't been designed, so we're not sure what that's going to look like. It could be a retaining wall,
But we're talking about a potentially a fence in addition to that along there, wrought iron or block wall or, you know, step down.
I'd be happy with just a block wall.
Just a block wall. You'll have to step down though, because for safety.
Up to what point?
Yeah.
Wherever, I mean, I know it has to come down to.
No, you have view requirements that would allocate that block wall to step down within 25 feet,
right,
you know, that
right.
45 radius, so you don't
yep.
run into an issue that you're concerned with of a car coming out who they can't see.
Right.
So, I mean, my suggestion would be that there would be maybe a low retain, maybe a couple courses.
Yeah, and just the, something, and, I mean, even if it's
and then maybe
2 feet
some rider,
high, that's enough yeah. to yeah. stop a car from. You know, also the other concern I have is you're talking about the distance between my block wall and the other fence.
Right.
Is there going to be some kind of red curb there where people aren't allowed to park along that wall? And is there
that's
going to
correct.
Be a sidewalk for pedestrians to go back there? Because there's a lot of foot traffic going through there.
I believe Sarah wanted to have that red. Didn't
yes.
she want that? Yes.
Yeah, she would have to have a red curb.
Yes.
Both sides.
So no parking on that street.
Yep.
Is that both sides a curb?
Correct.
It would have to be.
A curb on both sides?
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Yep.
And that would still meet the distance that you need for the fire trucks? And
right.
Fire trucks.
Yes.
And so I guess a question that I have maybe Robert carries each other. What's going to happen here?
Depending on how the design comes in, we have to look at it. The code requires that the driveway shall not cross over the prolongation of the property line itself.
Because it looks like we have the top of the wing here, right?
And correct.
So now.
So depending on how the developer of the track went in, may have not done that correctly.
Right.
But it might have been right up to the very end point where he's now just compliant enough. But then doesn't help out with the
Are you amenable that if that some modifications have to be done to the driveway apron next on your property, that would you be okay to work being part of that, not paying for it, but for work to be done on your property too?
What kind of work would be done?
Well, I'm just saying because it's just because this property like comes like this, right?
Right.
And so just by the design of the apron and such, I don't know how it's going to come across into that right away.
But see, that's my concern. I don't see how you're going to start an apron coming down right from the approach of mine.
Oliver, if I may, say something. I mean, it's kind of hard to determine what the driveway approach would be until we stake out the property corners. I mean, we can't encroach into his property to do the driveway approach.
Right.
But then we can definitely do like a modified driveway approach that potentially have a small block wall to his side of the neighbor, so that if there's any overshot that it could be stopped with a small wall or larger curb, something like that. That way we can still maintain the visibility.
Yeah, because it's going to be at street grade down here. So it's really just only going to be just kind of a small little, I mean, I don't know if it would just make sense just to make all this.
No, we would rather not.
No?
That becomes a common driveway, and
right.
it becomes more of an
okay.
issue. So we do would want a separation of the two.
Right.
Okay.
Also, what I want the community to understand that after everything's said and done and everything's built, everybody in this committee is released from what's going on. I still have to deal. The main concern that I have is traffic coming in and out of here. When I pull out of my driveway, I have to be concerned what's coming from behind me now. And every time there's no way around it. When I pull out of my driveway, I'm in there and I'm impeding their traffic. The main concern is this entrance and it's a safety hazard.
So again, what suggestions would you make to help with that?
You would have to put the driveway somewhere else. So it doesn't endanger me coming out of my driveway.
Do you have any suggestions?
I understand the concern. I mean, that's the only access that we could potentially have. I mean, we have no other access.
there's a, the main road, the main road that comes down, what's that?
Valeria.
That goes to the backside of that property as well. That's how the main road originally came in. From what I was told, he doesn't want to go down that road due to flood control and FEMA and all that stuff.
Is there another
one? Would that be an easier way to get to the back of the property?
There's a county flood control.
No, I haven't.
No, he doesn't own that parcel.
How about maybe a gated entrance so that people have to stop before they exit?
That's a good idea.
Then I just leave the gate open or something.
Stop sign.
What's that?
Stop sign.
Yeah, well, it's a private road. Yeah. I mean, they could put one out, but, you know.
That's a good consider a road.
It's kind of false.
Private drive.
Yeah, private drive. So.
Any thoughts, Gary?
I mean, I wouldn't have an issue with a gate there. Is the owner willing to consider a gate?
Are you willing to consider a gate?
Yeah.
Okay. Like a wrought iron gate so that people can see through and still slow traffic down and all that? How about you?
The gate would have to close automatically.
Yeah.
So that way they're not able to keep it open.
The gates are to be recessed in, so the traffic is coming in. Don't stop on the street.
Right. You got fire trucks that got to get in, and
trash
trucks that got
to
get in.
They'll have their.
They're like a knock to box or a clicker.
Right.
I just have just a real quick question. You're concerned because the driveway is real close to your driveway, and you'd have to watch out for that driver coming out. What's the difference between that and four houses up from you where they have two driveways next to each other?
Okay, the two driveways that are next to each other, when they back out, they come backing out from a complete stop. So basically, they're not even hitting the gas as they back out. Right. The concern that I have, it's already traffic that's in full momentum. You could gain about 40 miles per hour if you want to.
We're asking
the distance of that street.
We're not asking for a radius street style. We're asking for a driveway style. So they would have the same conditions. They would have to come to a stop before actually entering out because it is private onto a regular street. And it's their responsibility to make sure that there is visibility.
Yes, but you're asking me to rely on other people's safety.
Same as condition as a person that's has two driveways next to each other.
The driver, like I said, he's not going to hit 20, 30 miles per hour coming out of the driveway. These people are already coming out of their driveway, which is way in the back, and they're driving forward to that driveway. No one's saying that they're actually even going to stop because there's a driveway there.
What's the length of that driveway on the cul-de-sac? 50 feet.
It's similar to a parking lot. If you're in a long parking lot area and you're trying to get out of the parking lot, Target, whatever, you have to come to the street. When you come to the street, you have to stop before you can move into it. That's the same similar condition that we've been applying to this driveway approach. So no matter the length of it, and yes, they probably could come to speed, but they're still entering into a street where they have to follow the conditions. They have to come to a stop for visibility purposes before continuing on.
And there's also a concern expressed to me about traffic going south on Linwood Way that could possibly even enter that driveway and go in as well.
That's the reason why we try to get away from a regular street-looking style, because then it may look like they can continue on and, oh, by the way, it's a private road, a private street, and shoot, now they can turn around and come back out. As it's a driveway, then they have a second look at it and say, oh, shoot, it is. Doesn't mean that they're not going to stop in the same condition with his driveway. They could actually veer off a little bit and then go into his driveway. It's the same condition. It's just this one's just a little more to the right of coming south on that street.
So as I understand it, Mr. Castaneda doesn't want any... is concerned with the public safety of the vehicles coming out and also entering that driveway, and he also is concerned about other vehicles entering onto his property, and then there's a visibility issue as well.
Yeah. Making the fence that automatically closes where they can't leave it open is a good start, because it's forcing them to come to a complete stop for that gate to open. Because the driveway, you're presuming it's going to slow them down.
And then the fencing combination will be a modified design so it doesn't look like a street, and the red curbing and all that combined will mitigate, sounds like, what your concerns are.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to add to my comments that the trash truck drivers won't use the Knox box, so if you go with a gated entrance, they need a remote key or clicker or something that they can just go in and out. Okay, thank you.
My name's Roy Callahan. I own the property with the wrought iron and the house next door as well. And my concern is I do like to, once upon a time from now, develop that property with a single-family home there. And what I see that they're getting ready to do, flood-wise, is when the rains come, even this year, we had the rains come in that radius right there and the water come up and over into the fields there. And so what I see, if you're going to be knocking that whole entire radius out as a, just an approach, I didn't realize that they were going to have curbs all the way down. I guess that water will go all the way down to those three homes there then. Or if that radius is completely taken out, it's going to be flooding right up into that my lot there. It kind of already does that a little bit now when it has heavy rains with a curb. And then I also see on the northeast side that their radius is coming in to my side of the property there, and then right about there is where I want to put an approach eventually. I can't put an approach on the other side of the property because the Edison power lines are there where they hold the pole up, so it has to be right there. So that whole entire radius of the street is going to have nothing but no curb at all for the complete street of Lindwood, rainwater coming off that straight into their property and mine of the three houses I would imagine. That would be, the flooding is more of a concern for me on that side of the, because when it comes running down that street, it comes running down pretty good.
Because as it stands right now, this heavy rain, I have flooding all right here in my driveway that was just staying there until it stopped raining, then it eventually slowed down. So if you make a driveway here, it's going to be all flooding. The water's not going to flow. Where's it going to go?
I also had just another question. Was there going to be a sidewalk down that street or just curbs? I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, just curb.
Just curb.
No sidewalk.
And I did hear, as far as the sewer, there's going to be a sump pump, I take it, someplace.
Yes,
has to be.
So do you have any suggestions or recommendations kind of to alleviate what your concern might be?
Other than it would be like type of a grate right there where the water goes in and down into the flood. I don't know how that.
So drainage.
Some kind of underwater drainage to go right up in there.
The way the design's set, we're going to keep the flow line the same flow line elevation, right. So we're not going to change anything with the radius. We're not going to change anything with the flow line. The standards that we have for our driveway is similar to the driveway that you have right here. If you look at it, it wraps up to the back of the sidewalk. So if it is flowing over the sidewalk, it's probably going to continue. It actually may be less. It may be going on to their parcel more than your parcels. But the elevations are set per our standards that the flow itself, since there's no curb there, it'll still have to go to the height of the curb plus another 2% to the back of the sidewalk before it actually starts flowing over. So it will not be doing anything more than what you're actually having on your parcel. It'll actually be less for water-wise. Unfortunately, they may get more of a blunt onto not knowing what really happens in a heavy rain. So the radius, the flow lines, and the back of sidewalk, the elevations will still be the same, if not just a little bit higher. No, there should not be any additional waters going onto your site. Now, what I mentioned earlier, the driveway approaches, the prolongation of the property line cannot go onto another person's property. So for them to put in a driveway, they have to stay within their bounds, which would not eliminate you from putting your driveway right next to it, similar to what we're doing with this other gentleman's property. As long as the top of the X or top of the driveway is not impeding the other person's prolongation of their property, we're going to be okay with it per our code.
If I may add, the street section, it will have the capacity to take, you know, the drainage, and it would actually not go into his property anymore. So actually be routed with the street section going down.
It should stay there, but the conditions are happening right now where it's passing over the curb and then getting into it. With air conditioning, you're adding another 2% back to the back sidewalk. So you're actually raising a little bit more, so there shouldn't be any more problems going on to his parcel.
There shouldn't.
Shouldn't. But who knows? We may get a 500-year storm, and then all of a sudden we got all over the place.
So why is that radius on my side? Is there
the radius of his driveway?
No. Well, I should say there's a small radius that comes all the way out to where almost my approach would.
Actually, we're talking about a regular driveway now, not a radius.
Well, are you talking about the radius of the street or radius of his driveway?
The radius of his driveway.
Okay, we're changing that. We don't want that because
it's going to go straight.
By doing that, it invites people to make it look like it's an actual road.
Right.
And we don't want that. We want it to make it look like it's a private road, so therefore we're going back to a standard driveway. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we're going to get rid of that radius.
So any thoughts, Hector, Chris?
I mean, I wouldn't have an issue doing the driveway like that. You know, we could do the way the standard driveway approach will eliminate that curb. The curb is on the radius he's talking about is actually on the public right of way. But if we provide a city standard driveway approach, we'll stay away from that radius.
Yeah. It is in our code that we can't allow the prolongation of the property line as it goes out to the curb. We can't allow that driveway to impede on across the portion because it'll cause problems with other portions.
So we can you know at the final street improvement we can modify it, then it'll be under your review.
Yes, we're going to change it from we were looking at a hybrid of some sort so that it would not go across the property lines, not make it look like a road because we want it to make it look like a driveway so no one drives into it accidentally. We also want it so that it has the larger elevation so we have people slowing down to either exit or enter into it. So a standard driveway does a lot of that stuff for us.
So I think from my perspective, I know this is an awkward corner here, and plus with the situation of the private road and the two adjoining neighbors here, frankly, I would feel more comfortable to see how that all is going to work out from a design standpoint, the private drive, how it's going to interface with the with this driveway over here and this access, and then also possibly potential a driveway over here on this side. I don't know how that's going to work.
So are you asking for a concept of that area first before we do anything?
That would be my recommendation.
Agreeable to the developer designer?
Do we have a choice?
I want to be mindful of the neighbors, kind of a thing, and so they do bring up some valid points on. Right. But at the same time, I do believe that people, if it's your property, you should be able to develop and stuff. I don't think that they have an objection to you building four houses on that lot. But everyone wants to protect their own interest too. On the surface, I support and I think I can imagine what it's going to look like. But what I don't want to see is that we approve it with some caveats here that yes, that we'll do this, we'll do that. It gets built, and then everyone's riled up that that's not what we agreed upon. So that would be right. My recommendation. I don't, if we can do that as early as our next meeting. I think that we could continue to the next meeting. Give us some time to give you some time, I guess, to put that sketch together.
Sounds good.
And again, really just a sketch kind of a thing that we can do, and then maybe then maybe Mary, you could schedule a meeting with the neighbors and
yes,
get some cookies out or whatever. We'll make sure that it's
so. Now, just to summarize, I mean the concern that we're worried about now is only the driveway approach. So if we provide a concept for a standard driveway approach, Are we also talking about providing the concept for the fence as well? Might as well do that, or?
Uh-huh. And the gate. They need to see it all, how it all is going to look.
And so,
yeah, it'd be nice to see.
What would we need to provide, maybe some street elevations? I mean, I want to know so that, you know, we...
I don't really necessarily think from a, you know, it's got to be an engineered, you know, kind of a thing. With no offense, I think if it's just a sketch, if you will, of, you know, just show us, you know, how this is all going to interface with you. You know, how are the curbs going to be adjusted? Where the driveway apron's going to be? How is that going to correlate with your private drive that you're putting in? And so we have the neighbors on either side know who's, you know, how people are going to come in and out, and you know, is this little bump still, is there still going to be a little bump here? Is that all going to be wiped out, or how is that going to happen?
Has this property been surveyed yet?
Yes, we have surveyed it. We haven't provided a boundary survey or anything like that at this time.
Have you topoed that existing apron to the east?
No. I mean, I have shots. I can go out there and get some shots on the actual driveway approach and the limits on it.
Right. That way we know exactly where that driveway actually is, survey-wise. I know he's got a pocket tape there, but that's not...
Right. No, yeah. I mean, we can get more points and locate, you know, the driveway approaches.
Okay.
And then we can physically see where they're actually located with respect to the property boundary, Mr.
Right.
Rock.
That's fine.
I don't want to be mindful because no one likes surprises, you know. So you don't want to, you know. I'm sure no one wants to wake up with the concrete truck showing up one day and it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But I did want to ask, what's going to happen with those mailboxes?
Well, one of them was moved on. Well, it was moved onto my property, unknown to me. I did not get a permit to move it. I don't know who moved it. Did you find out anything further?
Would you like to?
I talked with the postmaster.
Uh-huh.
And asked him if I could move it because it was on my property. I wasn't aware that he was going to build. I asked him where I could move it, and he said you can move it wherever you want. You own the mailbox. And so I asked the postmaster, can I just move it over a couple feet over? He said that's fine.
Fortunately, you need a permit for that.
Right.
That is worse. That's not been permitted, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, the mailbox is in there. I mean, they could move it to another nearby location.
Yeah, move it over to Arden.
Arden?
it was put there by the developer for, I guess, the proximity of that area. I truthfully don't know how many people or who actually goes to that mailbox system itself. We try to get it as best as possible.
I think it's all those new developed homes.
19 homes.
Homes.
Is that mailbox encroaching into the access of the property?
Oh. Yeah.
It's got to be relocated.
It's right in the middle of your
driveway. It got moved to the middle of my driveway.
Yeah.
It would have had to been moved either way.
It was already. Yeah, it would have had to be moved because it was half on mine and half on his to begin with. So it's not like I just moved it up there.
Right.
It was already half on his anyway.
So it's not really per se on your property, it's still within the city right of way.
Right.
So,
and that's what the gentleman over there said. He's telling us, like, a city easement. It's not really on his property.
Yeah, usually between 7 and 10 feet is where we're at.
It actually should have had an encroachment permit to move something like that within public right of way.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of it.
Before it gets moved again, yes. We're going to entertain a motion to continue.
So 2 weeks, is that enough?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So if I may, I would like to entertain a motion that we continue this item to the meeting of May the 4th, I believe. May the 4th. It'll give Hector a chance to put together a little sketch, a little concept, and then maybe Mary, if you have the contact information, then you can assemble the troops over here and
okay.
And kind of go
who's
through
the cookies.
And then and then we can work from there. So are you gentlemen okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. Good deal with that. I'd like to entertain a motion to continue this to the meeting of May the 4th, please.
That motion?
Second.
Thank you. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you.
You're welcome. I have another good night.
Yeah, just one more.
Chantal, would you kindly introduce item number six, please?
Yes, sir. Item number six is subdivision 17-03, tentative parcel map 19845, a request to allow the subdivision of a parcel containing approximately 17,500 square feet into two single-family residential parcels, each containing approximately 8,750 square feet. The parcel is currently located at the southwest corner of Arden and Date at 2748 North Arden Avenue within the residential suburban zone. The project is categorically exempt from CEQA review pursuant to section 15315 for minor land divisions. The recommendation today is to adopt resolution 2017-026 adopting the categorical exemption and approving subdivision 17-03 based on the findings of fact and recommended conditions of approval.
Thank you. Anything else to add to that, Chantal?
That's all I have.
Perfect. Thank you. C-Chan, would you like to start off, please?
For this project, there's not going to be any cross lot drain be allowed also for the parcel map. Also, we're going to require a final map to be prepared. And I want to point out that there's a weedage on the southwest corner that Dade Street and Arden Street. That, I assume that probably we're going to talk more about it and just help him address that. And no further comments.
Thank you.
Gary, anything to add?
Nothing else.
Thank you. Mahmoud?
Nothing from traffic.
Okay, Sunshine, you're up.
Well, I'll start with the easy one. Date Street, your dedication, we're not going to ask for anything because that's already at the, actually beyond the requirements for Date Street. On Arden, we'll be asking for a 2.75 dedication to meet our conditions for secondary street. Curbs will be need to be widened. The one on Date Street, because of that drainage system that's coming from the east side of the street, east side of Arden, it'll need to be widened with the curb return and such. If you look at the north side, they've already done it, and it has the same concept as what we're going to be looking for, something similar to that, just to get rid of the drainage. Because right now, if you look at it, you have your, I think it's two AC dikes. One's the AC dike where the curb line would be at, and I believe that's at 22 feet already. The second one is just to keep the vehicles out from going into that ditch area. Curb return, for our standard, 25 foot, I believe, is what we put in here. And then widening to 30 feet on Arden. And what that does, it matches up with the parcels, not directly south from you, but the next block down. We're continuing that whole portion of 33 feet going up. It may cause problems. I did not look at it in comparison to the par poles that are there. If it does, we'll come back and revisit what we can and can't do without having to relocate those poles, because it seems to be very high voltage.
It looks like there is, yeah, a power pole and also a fire hydrant within that. What is it, 2.75 feet dedication
for
that
the dedication.
Yeah.
So we'll look at that. If anything, this is what we're looking to be. This is where we want to be, so that we're meeting all the conditions that are required of us to do so. But if there's certain conditions, like the power pole being such a expense to move on that one, we may allow a lesser amount. Power pole can be on private, it could be on public, although I think that puts it on to public more so. So it may help us out on that portion of it. I think we were looking for a slurry. I'm sorry, I'm trying to remember what we have put on this. I think we were looking for a slurry on Arden and I think a 1-inch grind on Date Street.
Okay.
Other than that, I think...
On the half-width or full-width?
Only half-width, from the center line over. If by chance the lane line happens to be more on your side, we'll only go to the lane line. So if the lane line happens to be 5 foot off and it's more towards your side, we'll only go to the lane line. That way we don't have to cause any more going into someone else's left turn lane or whatever it might be. I think that's about it.
Thank you. Ted, anything for us?
This is also East Valley Water District. As I mentioned earlier today, the sewer capacity fees are still due to San Bernardino Water Department because we have a water treatment facility. Currently, East Valley Water District does not have their own, so those fees, impact fees, are paid to us for single-family residents. No problem.
Gracie?
No comments.
Minor comments, once the construction comes into place, you'll follow and read the California Residential Code. That's all.
Awesome. No continuing.
Not this one.
Are you going
to
be here on the...
Chris had to wait one more week. I mean, we can't be done with them yet.
If you want
to
see me, fine. I'll be here.
Any questions? With that, our recommendation is to adopt Resolution 2017-026. I'd like to entertain that motion, please.
Set motion.
Second.
Without any objection, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Welcome. Stephanie's going to kill them. It's supposed to be helping.
Fire something.
All right.
Which one was this, Elizabeth?
This was the reapplication for the retreat center located at 814 Arrowhead Avenue. And we went to the site. Fire building.
Okay, with that, I'd like to... I'd like to continue this item to the meeting of May 4th, please. I can have a motion, please.
Set motion.
Second.
Okay, so we'll take this one up on the next meeting then. Item number 8... is one of our procedural items. Chantal, will you quickly get us through this, please?
Yes, item number 8 is for general plan amendment 16-07, development code / zoning map amendment 16-08, and conditional use permit 16-17, as well as a PCN 17-01. This is a request to develop, establish, and operate service station with type 21 off sale ABC license and an express drive through car wash facility. Today we're just announcing the release of the initial study. We're going for a 30-day public review period because Caltrans will be involved with this case. At the end of the 30 days, we'll bring the project back to the ERC for conditions. And so right now I'm looking at June 1st as the ERC meeting that we'll be reviewing this.
If you recall, this is that we had a meeting about that. You know, there was the access road behind the building and ship. It's right adjacent to the freeway.
Yeah.
There was a pre-app to this one.
Yes.
There was a rather lengthy discussion of how we're going to do this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
On this one, what I'd like to do is make sure that that both Public Works and gets a copy of the initial study so we can look at the traffic and the off-sites and all that other fun stuff.
Make sure Water's also involved in that because they'll have a pump station on this one.
Okay.
Right, okay.
They never continued on the traffic scoping or anything else.
I don't believe so.
Yeah. Just to let you know.
Is this the property with the old market?
Yes.
Yes.
It's level now.
Yeah, there's no market anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Our lift station is right there.
Okay.
You'll be yours.
Do you want sets of plans and the initial study? What all information do you need?
Why don't you just give it the complete package?
Okay.
So
give
me
okay.
All right. Do you want hard copies or is a PDF version okay?
PDF's fine.
Choices. Okay. All right.
I know, right?
Yeah. Do you want to supersize?
No supersizing. That will make my email crash.
Yeah.
Okay, with that, I'd like to entertain a motion to release the document for 30-day public review, please.
Second motion.
Second.
Thank you. Okay, well, we got out of here at 11:10, so enjoy the food trucks.
Quarter to six.
Yeah,
it's
the six.
So it's going to go home.
Yeah.
We stand at chair. Thank you.
Okay.
It's fine. Are you from Redlands or Montana?
A few minutes off.
Okay.